Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Yes, recent weather is helping California with its historic long drought, but at big cost. Yet another atmospheric river overhead. It's dropping a lot of water from L.A. to Oregon, Weather Channel forecaster Chris Warren.
The big storm system is one in a series of systems that will bring very heavy rain, flooding rain, possibly landslides, mudslides, rock slides, and some very strong winds. The amount of rain, this is significant, from Southern California to Northern California and Southern Oregon could be up to a foot of rainfall. That's going to cause some serious issues.
It already has. Some 180,000 customers reported without power around San Francisco, where schools are closed Thursday. A lot yet we do not know, including motive, but 8 people are dead of gunshot wounds in southern Utah. Among them, 5 children found when police did a welfare check about 245 miles south of Salt Lake City. Enoch City Manager Rob Dotson.
Upon entering the home, the officers found 8 individuals, 3 adults, and 5 minors who had received gunshots and were deceased.
The U.S. House remains at standstill as it fails to elect a speaker for the 6th time. That is the first thing the House must do before it can do anything else. Correspondent Scott McFarlane on Capitol Hill.
A marathon set of votes and then an evening full of backroom negotiations didn't break this logjam that has paralyzed the U.S. House of Representatives. Until they choose a speaker, there really is no sitting member of the U.S. House. None of them has been sworn in. They can't create committees or issue legislation and might have trouble dealing with constituent calls for passport help or Social Security checks.
It is going to be a most unusual scene in Vatican City when Pope Francis presides over the funeral of his predecessor, BBC News religion editor Ali Makmoul.
Benedict XVI, who was lying in state for 3 days, has now been placed in his cypresswood coffin with, as is tradition, a deed in Latin detailing the key moments of his pontificate. This morning, that coffin will be carried out of St. Peter's Basilica and placed on its steps, facing St. Peter's Square, for the funeral mass, which, highly unusually, will be presided over by the late Pope's successor.
3 years in, COVID-19 is now blamed for 1,094,000 lives here in the count by Johns Hopkins. Now there is a new COVID variant called XBB.1.5. It now accounts for more than 40% of cases in the United States. CBS News medical contributor Dr. David Agus.
The infectiousness of this new variant means that it will continue to spread, and that's something that we all need to be aware of.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new plan.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Pride.
Left corner, 3 in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, January 5th. In Wood County, the Highway Infrastructure and Recreation Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Highway Department Conference Room in Wisconsin Rapids. The Operations Committee meeting, originally scheduled for January 2nd, will be held Thursday, January 5th at 9 a.m. at the Courthouse in Room 114. The Planning and Zoning Department is holding a special meeting at 9:30 a.m. by teleconference to have a general discussion on upcoming broadband grant opportunities. The Wisconsin Rapids Public Works Committee will meet at 5 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. In Portage County, the Human Resources Committee will hold their meeting at 4 p.m. in the Portage County Annex, Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The Commission on Aging, Aging and Disability Resource Center Board will hold their meeting at 4 p.m. at the ADRC at Lincoln Center in Stevens Point. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Snow likely overnight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows around 30, north winds around 5 miles per hour. Snow likely again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 32, overcast. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night, 15. About an inch of snow overnight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 31.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. We're doing it live, and Dom, I gotta tell you, man, these headlines have me gleeful.
Yeah.
I'm feeling
happy
pretty damn good.
Day, Crudy. Yeah, man, I'm feeling good, too. We got Evan on the board, our fair audience. Great to be with everybody. We may have missed yesterday, but, you know, there's still voting going on, so you didn't really miss a whole lot.
When you say we missed yesterday, Crudy went to the Bucks game, man. And and let me first and foremost tell you, what a wonderful experience. I had my youngest, and we got like the best tickets I've ever had at the Fiserv Forum. I mean, I wasn't quite courtside, but I was like behind the Wizards bench. And the Greek Freak threw up a career high last night, 55 points, man. He was on fire. He was really the dominant player on the court.
Well, at 55 points, yeah, it is amazing. I know, Crudy, kind of, you know, pshaw on the Bucks. Are you a Bucks fan now?
How could I not be?
Yeah, see, I told you. You just got to see him play, man. It is amazing. The Greek Freak with 55 and Crudy close to see it, man. Well done.
And I will point out, as my youngest, who drove me home last night because the drinks were free in the BMO section, caught the end of the Badger game. They had a late start last night, and they beat Minnesota. Chucky Hepburn with a late steal. So can I love them all?
We can. There's
I
lot,
love
so much
all
love
my
to go
children,
around.
Don. But we aren't a Bucks playout affiliate. But, you know, we play the Badgers. They were on WFHR last night. I listened on stream. Dom, is it safe to say, and I've told you, there is a standard, but I think it's now safe to say, the Republican Party's in disarray.
Crudy, I absolutely agree. Here are the headlines breaking from CNN. Kevin McCarthy suffered yet another stinging defeat on Wednesday as he lost in the sixth round of voting to elect a speaker, a major blow that increasingly imperils his bid and heightens uncertainty over whether he can still secure the gavel or if a viable candidate will emerge as an alternative. The House of Representatives has adjourned until 8 p.m. on Wednesday after failing to elect the new speaker. Crudy, they are on a timeout because they are in disarray.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Six.
Six votes, and you can't pick a speaker. And the Democrats, are the Democrats still voting in uniformity for Hakeem Jeffries?
It's been unanimous every time.
Oh man, herding the cats of the Democratic Party, but they have been champions. And I watched a little MSNBC before I snuck out of town. Again, thank you, Mark Thompson. Great experience. Really, I owe you a big one. But I got to tell you, Dom, I got to watch a little of the action in real time yesterday. And the Democrats, you know, just sitting there, Hakeem Jeffries. And then, you know, the other party's like, people that aren't even serving in the House right now. Jim Jordan, the guy that doesn't even want it. You know, just pick a rando, right? As long as it's not Kevin McCarthy. And Dom, we've got some fine guests, one of whom predicted this day would come, Dom, and it came. And it's still going on, day two. So we feel fortunate. They have Bill Press, pundit, podcaster, friend of ours. Bill made the prediction that Kevin McCarthy would never become the Speaker of the House. And he's looking pretty prescient today. But we'll let him crow about it in the 5 o'clock happier happy hour. And we've got the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin, our pal Ben Wickler, coming around at 4:30 today, Dom. And that brings us to the local headline, which is also a national headline, and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, the senior senator, the senior insurrectionist from the great state of Wisconsin, perhaps.
Yes, that's more accurate.
Here is how it's being reported by Molly Beck and Lawrence Andrea at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ron Johnson advocated for a GOP-controlled legislature to choose the presidential electors, new January 6th documents say. What are you being told here, people? Let me just slow it down for a second. Ron Johnson said basically the gerrymandered, Republican-favored legislature should throw out the will of the Wisconsin voters and just choose Trump electors. Ron Johnson was in at the, this is a coup plot. This is a big deal, Ron. This is bigger than even handing off the false electors to the vice president. This is plotting at the most basic level of a procedural coup d'etat, sir. Let me read. I hope I'm not over-conflating this now. I think it's a big deal. New documents from the U.S. House Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol suggest Senator Ron Johnson told the chairman of the state Republican Party a month after the 2020 election that the GOP-controlled state legislature should choose the presidential electors instead of the Wisconsin voters. An argument Johnson said Tuesday he has no recollection of making. Convenient memory, sir.
Isn't it, though? And, you know, when we used to interview Ron quite a bit back in the day, what did he say to us at least one time? I know nothing. He quoted the Hogan's Heroes guard, right? I know nothing. I know nothing. And here's what he's saying. He doesn't remember a thing. He knows nothing.
Well, he couldn't remember being a willing participant in the handing off of the false electors from Michigan and Wisconsin, or at least wanting to be a part of that, to the vice president.
Well, it was he remembered like a couple of seconds and a few minutes, no more than 10, then maybe an hour.
Let's read on from this reporting, the newest about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. The operation involved discussions of taking multiple cars and hiding in rooms in the Capitol to avoid detection, according to Andrew Hitt's text messages. Again, this is the former chair of the Republican Party, a lawyer by vocation, and apparently sees himself as some of a public figure. Here's the quote. Ron called me right after and now is arguing for us to have the legislature choose the electors. OMG, Hitt said in text messages to Republican Party of Wisconsin Executive Director Mark Jefferson, referring to Johnson. What is he doing? Jefferson replied. There is a huge amount of pressure building on them to find a way around the Electoral College.
That's a coup, man. Can we just find our way around the Electoral College or maybe terminate that part of the Constitution?
How can he feel good about promoting that, though, Jefferson said. Does he believe we won here? Of course, we won, meaning Donald Trump won the will of the Wisconsin voters. And, of course, the answer is hell no. That's not what Wisconsin voted for in 2020. When asked about the text exchange, Hitt testified he did not agree with the idea. Well, that's good. I'm glad when you're giving testimony before a joint, you know, a subcommittee, that you didn't throw yourself, oh, no, I thought it was a great idea. Coup d'etat forever. Let me read on. Hitt testified.
But he did it, though. It wasn't a good idea, but you did it. So don't you kind of endorse it? Once your name is on the document, it's an endorsement. Literally, that is what an endorsement is. Your name on the document. Good idea or not, it was a good enough idea for you to endorse it.
Much like Jenny Thomas, he regrets that he's been publicly exposed. Yeah. This should have never come out publicly, I think.
Right, I can't believe I regret this became public.
When asked about the text exchange, Hitt testified he did not agree with the idea and told Johnson that legislative leaders would likely not be on board, citing a memo from the Legislative Reference Bureau sent to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on November 16th, 2020, showing the body lacked the power. So it had already been explored, and it wasn't feasible, not legally.
Not just explored by like some crackpot attorney like Giuliani. This was explored by the Legislative Reference Bureau. Those are the state's attorneys.
Hitt also testified he considered Johnson's comments to be a general complaint and not a directive. He didn't ask me to call anybody. I don't know if he was implying that I should. Certainly, I think it would be fair that that he would have left the conversation or understanding that I wasn't going to do that. Johnson says he doesn't remember Hitt's phone call. I know nothing. I see nothing, says Ron.
Here's what he said on Tuesday. He said he did not remember the alleged phone call documented in the text messages between Hitt and Jefferson and accused the U.S. House Committee of attempting to smear him. It's like the FBI is setting him up, Crudy. Here's what Johnson said. This isn't the first time the January 6th committee has selectively and deceptively released text messages to smear me. I have no recollection of the phone call referred to in the text and therefore do not know the context of any comment I might have made. My goal since the November 2020 elections has consistently been to restore confidence in our election system.
You know, that's not true. That's so not true.
There's lots of irregularities there, Crudy. And you said this about Evers. Evers voted vetoed 6 bills designed to clarify election law. I want to fix the problems. Democrats only seem interested in playing politics and making it easier to cheat. Says the guy who literally tried to cheat.
Cheat not just on a singular vote. Cheat the entire electorate of the state of Wisconsin out of their will.
What was the text? How do we get around the Electoral College? How do we just kind of, you know, just bypass the Electoral College because our guy lost? How do we remedy that?
Dominic, the newly released text messages reveal deep skepticism on the part of Hitt and Jefferson of the plan pushed by Trump allies to draft Republicans to submit false paperwork alleging to be Trump electors. Again, pointing out that Hitt did sign off on that eventually. Yeah. At one point, Jefferson texted Hitt, "Now, how are we going to get this silly electors meeting canceled? I fear that we won't." No, it didn't. They played it down.
What is, don't put a gun to your head? You don't got to show up, Hitt. What are you doing? I mean, if you had those thoughts, wouldn't leadership be, Mr. Leader, because you're the leader of the GOP, wouldn't that have been to, like, put the skids on, stop this? This is insanity. We didn't lose. It might be unconstitutional. It might be illegal. I mean, you felt it. You knew it. You complained about it, but you still did it.
Dominic, one last quoted text here from the January 6th testimony. "Tomorrow is going to be wild," Hitt told Jefferson after discussing which of the 3 rooms in the Capitol to hide in with the Wisconsin Election Commissioner Bob Spindell.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com. You don't know my
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies overnight. A chance for scattered snow showers. Lows level off around 29. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of snow showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 34. Cloudy. Overcast tomorrow night. Chance of snow showers. Lows around 27. About an inch of snow overnight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
I was not here. I did not even get up this morning.
I was not involved in this at all.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you stick around today. Big show. Ben Wickler, chair of Wisconsin Democratic Party, going to join us at 4:30. Bill Press coming around at 5 o'clock talking about the Republicans in disarray. But we're talking about the local Republicans here, Crudy, in disarray. Milwaukee Journal has some reporting out today. And I think we need to kind of explore a little bit more of this. Molly Beck, Lawrence, and Drea reporting about Andrew Hitt and some of his texts. He is the former chair of the Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin. Now, mind you, in this reporting, and as you summarize through Hitt's texts and realize what they did, I mean, what does this sound like to you? We're going to take multiple cars. We're going to hide in different rooms, and we're going to keep our process and our plans secret. I mean, do those characterize activity that would be above board? As one who's maybe done some below board, I would say, no, that doesn't seem above board. If you think you're doing something legal, you don't need to take multiple cars. You don't need to hide in the Capitol. And you certainly don't need to keep your plan secret.
Well, Dominic, according to this reporting, Kelly Rowe, RUH, who was, what, the 8th Republican CD chair and also a false Trump elector, well, here's what she told someone. Don't mention to anyone. It's hush hush. When asked about the exchange, Roe told the committee she was upset at the time because there was a slim to none chance the courts would overturn the election results. Yeah, because the courts had already ruled, literally had already ruled the Wisconsin Supreme Court 4-3. Remember, we brought it up at the time. By a 4-3 ruling, Hagedorn ruled with the minority, typically the minority, the lefties, and said, you know what? The will of the voter should be upheld here in the state of Wisconsin. There is no path for Donald Trump. That happened before this action, Dom. So why the hush-hush? Why the clandestine nature? I guess they were afraid of getting, you know, unlawful entry tickets at the pandemic-closed Wisconsin State Capitol?
Yes, perhaps. Also, Crudy, Hitt testified that Rudy Giuliani, you know, one of those attorneys, he urged keeping the elector plan secret, as I mentioned. Trump allies like Giuliani urged state party officials to keep the plan for the false electors quiet, with Giuliani at one point urging no press, no heads up. He also told the committee Republicans electors had trouble getting into the state capitol on December 14th due to COVID protocols that barred the public from the building. Oh, it did, huh?
Well, here's the answer.
He said a staffer member of Stevens Point Republican State Senator Patrick Testin opened the door and let the group into the Capitol. The 10 false, well, I would call them fraudulent electors, as well as Jefferson, a spokesman for the Republican Party of Wisconsin, security and attorney Kenneth Cheesebro were in the room when the phony paperwork was signed. Hitt testified. He said it was really short. We just came in, we did the vote, and then we left.
Signed, and then we left.
But there's more. There's more. Of course, Johnson's staff attempted to give the packets, the false electors, to Pence. Pence rejected them. Hitt's text messages also suggest current Wisconsin GOP Chairman Brian Schimming had discussions with Giuliani about the fake elector plan before it was carried out. Schimming also did not respond to a request from the Journal Sentinel. So Andrew Hitt, the last GOP chair, right, who was involved neck deep in this, the old boss, will meet the new boss, Brian Schimming, same as the old boss. He was in on it too.
Won't get fooled again, Dom. A little bit more of this reporting. 2 days before the January 6th certification, Jefferson texted Hitt that freaking Trump idiots want someone to fly the original elector papers to the Senate president, according to the committee. Wonder who that'd be. Who are they going to hand them off to when they got there, Dom? But
maybe Ron, but he doesn't remember.
Hitt told the committee he believed former RPW spokeswoman Alesha Alesha Gunther flew to D.C. to deliver the slate of Wisconsin, false Wisconsin, fraudulent, criminal Trump electors. The false electors from Wisconsin and Michigan were eventually delivered to Pennsylvania U.S. Rep. Mike Kelly's office, who then delivered them to Ron Johnson. And Johnson's staff attempted to give the packets to Vice President Mike Pence moments before the certification of Joe Biden's 2020 victory, but Pence rejected that effort. Gunther also did not respond to the Journal Sentinel's interview request. Dom, man, it is such a tangled web of corruption. Here's one more thought. Johnson met privately for an hour with GOP legislative leaders after telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that state lawmakers should take over federal elections and ignore the Elections Commission. Remember when he said that? That was reported at the time. Johnson has said that the state legislature should, and here's the quote, reclaim its constitutional authority over federal elections. So just tell us who won, right? They just get to pick the winners. And said they also should, and here's again a quote from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, act to defend its oversight authority over state agencies like WEC that they have created. Without legislative oversight, agency accountability to the public would be dramatically diminished in confidence in government and election integrity. Further reduced, he said in a statement earlier this year. What about you just overruling the will of the Wisconsin voters? You and what, Robin Voss? You're going to talk the Republican majority, the gerrymandered majority, into just flipping the will of the Wisconsin voters for your boy, Donald Trump? Because elections don't have consequences. You know, how about your ballot? Anyways.
He won the last election. He's not challenging that one, right? So it's all good. But when you take, when you split up and you take different cars and you hide around the Capitol, we're gonna be hush hush about it. Don't talk. No press. No nothing. You're probably not engaging in great behavior. They knew what they were doing was wrong. They knew it was unethical. Hell, they probably suspected it was unconstitutional. Yet they did it anyway. There's got to be some consequence to that.
The Wish GOP is in disarray. We've got Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler, our buddy. Stick around, more devils.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand deliver to the vice president the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Get a great FN criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it.
The Shaw 101 FM. Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to FarmSafe811.org.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2. If you're talking,
they will hear you. We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear you. You can
do it if you try. This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Wisconsin DNR is asking you for help in spotting bear dens. It's part of a study that started last year and will provide new estimates of reproductive rates for black bears in each of the state's management zones. People are urged to report any information online about known black bear dens without approaching or entering them. Wisconsin currently has a bear population around 26,000, with hunters harvesting close to 4,000 each year. The state's residents now have until February 28th to comment on the draft Wisconsin Wolf Management Plan. The current plan, considered outdated, was written in 1999 and then slightly altered in 2007. The DNR says the goal is to ensure the state's wolf population remains healthy and secure while balancing the interests of the public. In sports, the Bucks beat Washington last night, 123-113. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Snow likely overnight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows around 30, north winds around 5 miles per hour. Snow likely again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 32. Overcast. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night, 15. About an inch of snow overnight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
Act leopards who eat people's faces party. Their faces are being eaten by the leopards, and they've got no one to complain to.
Ben, on the House side, on the federal side, the Congress, well, it was such a narrow victory, and it wasn't a red wave, but some of the worst act outs, Lauren Boebert and the like. I mean, she won by about as many votes as Robin Voss won his primary by, right? Like 250? These people should be getting in line, but they don't know how to govern, Ben.
They have zero interest in governing. For them, this is all performance theater. It's all about, you know, getting their likes and retweets or whatever, retruths on Truth Social. There's nothing about public service in it at all. And when you're not bound by the common good or by any kind of commitment to any kind of principle, then, you know, whatever, you can watch it all burn. But this is, to me, one of the core differences between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party is that most Democrats are in politics because they want to do something to help people. They want to make the world a little bit, you know, a little bit better. And so many Republicans are just in it because they want to win and crush their enemies. And the, you know, I think sometimes Democrats could use a little bit of more of the kind of go for the gold. But when it comes down to it, when these big votes happen, votes, procedural votes, substantive votes, Democrats almost always come together and pass stuff because it's a party that's basically built around a vision of trying to deliver for people. And for the Republicans, you know, they're just in this giant brawl that's a total disaster because there's no tether to the lives of the people who put them in office. It's all about them.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin, joining us. Ben, speaking of governing here in the state of Wisconsin, Governor Evers sworn in for another term. It's a great day for Wisconsin concerning what could have been. But what do you think about the state legislature? We're talking about Robin Voss here. We have a big surplus right now. We got state budgets that are going to have to come around. Do you think that the Republicans, do you hope that Republicans will come around and will be able to do some sort of governing, pass some bills and some bipartisan measure? What's your expectation for governing here in the next couple of years in Wisconsin?
Oh, man, I hope. I refuse to give up hope. While I breathe, I hope. That's the South Carolina slogan. So, you know, I'm not going to say that there's no way. And here's what I will say. We have a state Supreme Court race on April 4th. And if we win the state Supreme Court race, then the maps, the gerrymandered maps that we have could fall. And if that happens, Republicans could actually face voters who could, you know, throw them out of office, which is something that they have not faced in a very long time. And so my hope is that the specter of the possibility that we could have some actual democracy in the state of Wisconsin could be a giant kind of kick in the pants to a lot of Republicans to focus on doing the business that they were elected to do instead of, you know, just taking pot shots at a governor who won in a Wisconsin landslide, as I think it's fair to call it at this point, multiple percentage points. The real thing that disciplines politicians is having to face accountability from an electorate. Right now, Republicans only face accountability in the state of Wisconsin from Republican primary voters. And Republican primary voters, you know, some of them are thrilling to the antics of Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene. So they're not exactly imposing a lot of discipline on these politicians. But because we might actually become a democracy in these next few years, I think there is some hope that that some Republicans could realize that they're on the line if they don't actually do the things that people want them to do.
Ben, the Senate District number 8, my Senate district, up for election as well. Alberta Darling retiring in December. Multiple Republicans running for that seat. One of them, Randy Hopper, has decided to drop out of that race. A concern that he would split the vote and allow someone like Janelle Brangin to be elected, and he's all concerned because she's an election denier. And I think to myself, well, wasn't Trump? And didn't most of the Republicans vote for Trump? So it's in disarray. But what's your take on the 8th right now?
I mean, you know, who knows whether Hopper actually pulled out because he was doing something principled or because he just didn't have the signatures that he needed to get on the ballot. But Branson got the signatures. I mean, Branson represents a big faction of the GOP at this point, which is a take no prisoners commitment to something that is absolutely untrue and a hideous kind of insult to our Constitution and everyone who's served in uniform to defend that Constitution. The big lie, it's really a kind of civic disease. But she's the candidate for that. And until we see other Republicans actually saying no to this stuff instead of playing footsie with it, then they have to live with the fact that they could have Janelle Branson as their nominee. And, you know, Jody Habersinikin, the great, totally reasonable future senator from that district, is such a stunning contrast. She's a business owner and an attorney who actually, you know, thinks about how to conserve our natural resources. She's the kind of person who most people would want to be represented by. I think, unfortunately for the GOP, Branson is the kind of person that they have been putting on talk radio, right-wing talk radio, and on Newsmax and One America News Networks and the fringes of Fox News for the last, I don't know, decade plus. And the chickens are coming home to roost.
Ben, if I were a betting man, I'd bet the Packers beating the Viking, the Detroit Lions this weekend.
Hey, no.
And I would bet Janelle Branson is the nominee for the Republican Party in the 8th CD. Our fine guest, Ben Wickler, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. Ben, I got to ask you about some testimony we saw from your former colleague across the aisle. I guess I'd call him the chairman of the Republican Party, Andrew Hitt. And Andrew kind of put the hit out on Ron Johnson. Ron, the newly reelected U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, apparently wanted to overturn the will of Wisconsin, the voters, the electorate, and throw it to Robin Voss and the gerrymandered Republican legislature. This seems like new news. I mean, we'd heard him say stuff like this, but when he starts, let's say, making implicit demands and there are false electors involved, it starts sounding like a criminal conspiracy to me, Ben.
I mean, the thing is that he went to the state legislature and made the argument about this. He's been very straightforward that he said, this is a direct quote from 2021, "I think the Wisconsin legislature has to reclaim its constitutional authority over federal elections." So this has been his position, and it is profoundly contrary to what the Constitution of the United States provides for, to what the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin provides for. The idea that people who can draw their own districts to guarantee their reelection can then decide the manner of choosing the U.S. president, members of Congress, and so forth, it is preposterous. Now, it might have a majority support on the U.S. Supreme Court, which is a very, very, very frightening prospect in itself. So we can't just treat it as a joke. But it really is flirting with, you know, the fundamental undermining of the system of democracy. And with all my heart, I wish we'd had two more weeks in the election campaign, maybe one more week, because during those final weeks, Mandela Barnes had the resources to get his message out. He was surging in the polls. He came, as we now know, you know, within less than 27,000 votes of winning that Senate race, when democracy and abortion freedom were on the line. So clearly for voters, they were moving toward the Democrats. And at this point, unfortunately for all of us, Johnson is in that spot. So we're just going to have to do, you know, work overtime in every other way to make sure that his power isn't enough to overcome the will of the electorate and the spirit of democracy in our country over these next 6 years.
Ben, I've seen you recently quoted, I believe, Time Magazine, and there's some other reporting on the campaign of Mandela Barnes. And certainly we were supportive. We are friends with Mandela. We've known the guy for a long time. You pointed out there was decisions made, strategic decisions made by moneyed donors not to support Mandela when perhaps he was getting overwhelmed by third-party spending to the tune of $26 million. I thought I saw it reported. Was Mandela left out in the cold by the donor class? Why wouldn't they support this guy? Was he too progressive? Wrong color skin? What do you think? What do you attribute that to, Ben?
So first thing I'll say is a lot of people threw down, a ton of folks across Wisconsin, across the country. He raised $40 million. He outraised Johnson in terms of individual donations. Not the super PAC unlimited donations, but people who were making the donations, directly to his campaign. he did an extraordinary job, and his supporters really showed up in a huge way. So I don't want to take anything away from all the work that everyone who poured themselves into that effort, from unions and labor to grassroots organizations to small dollar contributors and some major contributors who pulled out all the stops. What we didn't have was, you know, essentially the Ulines and Diane Hendricks, who funded this $29 million independent expenditure operation. And I think for a lot of donors across the country, they looked at these polls, especially the polling averages, which supposedly are the really smart thing to look at, where they, you know, any bias in any individual poll is supposed to be washed out by the average. But this year, a bunch of right-wing kind of propaganda mills cranked out polls showing Republicans way ahead. And suddenly people were, you know, spending money in Colorado and Washington State, where we won overwhelmingly, instead of moving a surge of flood of money into Wisconsin. And it's hard not to see how, if we'd had those kinds of resources here, how we wouldn't have won, given that we knew that when people heard Mandela's message, he actually could close the sale. People were moving over to his column week over week for the final 5 weeks of the race. So that's my big takeaway. Don't let the garbage polls fool you, and keep your eye on the ball. Wisconsin fights, they're always winnable if you do everything in your power to do. It's what we were able to do in the governor's race. I think too many people were caught by those polls in the Senate race, but we almost got there in that race too.
And perhaps some of the negative campaigning worked against Mandela. Here would be my question, Ben. The campaign, the candidate and the campaign, what is their responsibility to respond to negative ads or to attacks upon them? I mean, I think Mandela often tried to, you know, just talk about his positive attributes. And I wonder, are we really fighting the right fight here, Ben? If all we talk about are the good things and we let someone else trash our candidates without response, aren't we leaving our candidates vulnerable to lose by 27,000 votes?
Well, here's the thing. If Mandela had not punched back, he would have lost by a lot more than 27,000 votes. But once he had the resources, he fought back, he defended himself, and he fought back, and he laid out his vision. And that's three different jobs you have to do in messages. If you were watching TV from mid-October through the, you know, election day and November 8th, you were going to see punch after punch land on Ron Johnson, exposing the truth about his record, his support for 8 different national abortion bans, his attacks on democracy, and his support for outsourcing U.S. jobs, all these things totally contrary to what Wisconsinites want. And you'd hear about how Mandela Barnes stood up and was a champion on each of these things and debunk the right-wing attacks. All of that was made possible by having the resources. And I do not like the role of money in American politics. I think it is terrible. And I think deep reforms and changes are needed. But under the system that we have, if you don't have the kind of resources to be able to communicate in the same volume that your opponent is, people only hear one side of the story. That's what we saw in September. That was so agonizing when there was only the resources to do the defense piece. Once he had the full armada of attack and counterpunch and defense, he had a message that really worked. And to me, the strength of his message is evidenced in the polls, is evidenced in the fact that he soared above expectations, did so much better than even the New York Times experts thought on election night he would do. He had a winning message. It's just that not enough people heard it for as long as they needed to hear it.
Well, Ben, we've got political windows opening this Friday. We've got a primary like 47 days away. Please stick around. More Devil's Advocates. More Ben Wickler. You got one more segment for us, right, Ben?
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We'll be right back. Then we're going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, right here on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a chance of scattered snow showers. Lows level off around 29. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of snow showers again tomorrow. Highs around 34. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Chance for snow showers. Lows level off around 27. About an inch of snow overnight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure to check us out on the socials at Twitter, at Devil Radio, Facebook, the Devil's Advocates radio, and of course, the podcast available at civicmedia.us.
Dom, we got a fine guest coming. That's podcaster, pundit, friend of ours, Bill Press, in the 5 o'clock happy hour. But we're not done with Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler, not yet. Because, Ben, we got an election, and it's right around the corner, literally. The primary is February 21st, and then the general, I believe, April 4th. But, Ben, that's like a sprint from here to the finish line. And it's not just about Dom's special election Senate seat. Hey, E-Bone, turn that music down. It is also about a Wisconsin Supreme Court election that could affect a lot of important issues. Ben, I know that you guys aren't going to weigh in the primary. The Democratic Party doesn't have a place in the primary to pick a winner. But once we have a winner, once we've got a candidate, a preferred, let's call it, judge, Ben, when's the machine go into motion? How's that going to look?
Well, I will tell you. So, you know, as you said, there are two far-right candidates, and there are two candidates who I think will actually pay attention to the Constitution, the written law, and justice in the state of Wisconsin. So for either of those latter two candidates, the party is neutral until February 21st. And then the second we have the person who's in effect our nominee, I expect the party to make an endorsement and for people to go to work. But even before then, we are already educating Wisconsin voters and doing field organizing, doing all the things we can to make sure people turn out and don't let those two far right wingers come through the primary. Like, we can't have a choice between, I don't know what the metaphor would be, the ultra right and the extreme right in the general election. This has got to be someone who actually represents the values of most Wisconsinites. Dan Kelly is a hyper extremist who Donald Trump endorsed from his COVID press conferences in the White House in 2020. And thank God we beat him by 11 points, or we might have had an overturning of the presidential election that fall. And then Jennifer Doro, who's become a kind of internet celebrity for the Walker Star Christmas Parade massacre, she is about as hard right as they come. She was asked to name the worst Supreme Court case. She named Lawrence versus Texas, which decriminalized LGBTQ relationships. That is her idea of the worst decision that the Supreme Court could make. Neither of these are people that you want to trust to consider whether the 1849 abortion ban passed before women had the right to vote and superseded by many subsequent laws should in fact be in effect at this moment, because you just know they're going to grind a partisan axe to take away people's freedoms instead of looking at what the law and the Constitution actually say. So we're already hard at work, but it's going to go into hyperspeed February 21st until that general election on April 4th, 90 days from today.
And Ben, I know we had a little fun teasing about Alberta Darling's retirement and the nutcakes running on the other side of the aisle for that seat. But the math of that seat, that is the 2/3 majority in the Senate. And Alberta Darling actually did the Democrats a favor by resigning at this time, or they could be doing malfeasance right now. They could be impeaching cabinet secretaries. They hell, they could, my understanding, impeach the governor if it was their will to do so. So this numerically, the seat has sort of an outsized weight to it, does it not, Ben?
It absolutely does. So the Republican, under the Constitution, if you have a majority in the Assembly, you can impeach, which means essentially indict somebody. And then you can convict on the articles of impeachment if you have a two-thirds supermajority in the state Senate. Now, they sure do have a majority in the state Assembly with room to spare. But because of Alberta Darling's retirement, they're one seat short of having a supermajority in the state Senate unless they can win the replacement in SD8 on that same day, April 4th. So that election becomes very, very important. What we've seen over and over is that when these Republicans have the power to do something, even if it is completely wrong and something voters loathe, they sometimes can't resist using that power. And I do not want to have a loaded gun on the table with Republicans who think that they can overturn election results just because they don't like someone or disagree with them. So, you know, we mean to win the state Senate special election. And there's mayor's races in Green Bay with Eric Genrich and Racine and Madison, a bunch of other places around the state. There are school referenda, there are city council races. There are thousands of local elections that will be happening on that same day. So, you know, everyone's still licking their wounds from the fall and, you know, finding their post-holiday equilibrium, maybe trying to shed some of those holiday pounds. But we are back in election season like nowhere else in the country is. And these elections, especially the Supreme Court election, which could result in the striking down of our gerrymandered maps, could change the game on reproductive freedom and so much else. That election will have consequences for the whole country. It'll have consequences for the 2024 presidential race because the current court has used every opportunity it could to suppress the vote. I mean, they banned all drop boxes in the state. They made it illegal to help a family member return an absentee ballot. Who knows what they'll do if they have this majority going into 24? This is for all the marbles. And the amazing thing about it, you know, it's bad if we lose, but if we win, it opens the door to actually righting the wrongs that Republicans have been hammering home in our state for the last decade plus. This could be the path to ending Act 10 and right to work in Wisconsin, restoring the rights of workers to organize, and so much else. It's a moment when we're on offense, flipping a Republican-held seat instead of on defense. It feels very, very good to be in this position. And boy, at this moment, with an electorate that just rejected this abortion ban, you know, everywhere it could, I would rather be us than them.
Ben, what I heard you say is Dom's looking fat after the holidays.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Ben Whitler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Honestly, I'm feeling a little fat, so you're not off. Ben, last 2 minutes here. Want to get your sense. I saw Assembly Leader Robin Voss being interviewed and lamenting how tired he is of the politics. And you go to the ball game and it's politics. You go to dinner, it's politics. And the holidays, it's politics. And I find it, I don't know, maybe a little disingenuous. I'm wondering if there's any self-reflection for the Assembly Speaker as to what his role in that is. Ben, what would you suggest for the Republicans who are tired of the politics?
You know, it's sort of like my suggestions to the House Republicans. If you don't like this division, all you got to do is vote for Hakeem Jeffries for Speaker of the House. And Republicans, you don't have to keep Robin Voss in power. Robin Voss doesn't have to vote for himself for Speaker. He could withdraw himself from that race at any moment. It's, you know, if you don't like someone punching yourself in the face, then maybe sit on your hand, pal. It doesn't have to be this way. And I hope that's a lesson all of us can learn as we go into the spring election. There's an opportunity for change. Sometimes if you're Robin Voss or one of his ilk, it involves looking in the mirror.
Well, they've changed. They hired a new boss over at the Republican Party. Apparently he now gets paid, but he was still part of the coup attempt. If we are understanding the reporting of the Journal Sentinel, but he does have a background in talk radio, so he can't be all bad. Ben Whitler, Democratic Party, Wisconsin chair. Happy New Year, man. We'll talk to you real soon.
Sounds good. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Ben.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
But they are who we...
It was a normal day. He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander